Thank you for choosing Weekly Politics as your podcast today. I thought about what to do for this episode for quite a long time, and I came upon the idea that maybe I know most of you have probably heard of the Tennessee school shooting with the Covenant Christian School. I thought of the idea maybe I should talk about that, but then most of you guys have probably heard about it already. And then I don't know, it's a really complicating topic. And it leads to quite a few different political consequences, as well as political things being done inside the Tennessee legislature, and quite a few different protests popping up around the country. And so I decided, okay, well, since there's so many political consequences coming from this specific school shooting, I might as well talk about it. It would be extremely helpful to you guys, to me. I mean, it's I don't like to talk about this type of stuff because that's what people's goals are, right? If you're an insane person and you think that you can have a whatever weapon, whether it's a gun or a knife, whatever, and your goal is to kill a large number of people, your goal is to do that so that people talk about you, so that you're known. One of the biggest fears of anyone, especially people my age, is actually being forgotten. And that's an incredible thing. Well, incredible in a bad way, because that makes us desperate when we have this feeling that we are going to be forgotten. And so it's not really my thing to talk about these types of stuff, but because of the political consequences and because I believe this shooter had different motives and different goals, let's just get into it. So the basics of the shooting was this transgender male, a female pretending to be a male. She thought she was a male. By the way, her parents did not actually know she was transgender. Her parents didn't know she identified in this way, and as far as I know anyway, as far as the information goes, I don't think any, if not most, of her friends did either. I don't know. There isn't much information specific out about this specific person. The police say they have a memo, I believe it's called a memo, or papers written by her, evidence of what her motives were, but they haven't released them, as far as I know anyway. At least at the time of this recording, they haven't. So it is a pretty clear motive, though. What we do know is that she talked to a friend, and in the conversation when she talked to this friend, she told the friend that basically it was going to be the last day, right? And she went to, yeah, obviously we know what happened next, right? So let's look into why. She was a transgender person. She was not stable mentally. And I'm not saying that as in to say all transgender people are mentally unstable. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not trying to generalize it. I am, what, well, actually, there I do have a specific belief that does relate to mental things and transgenderism, but I can get to that later if I have time. What I am saying is this specific person was extremely mentally unstable and then proceeded to. Basically, what she heard from the news is Christianity is evil, right? Christianity is telling all these people that transgenderism is wrong and gay marriage is wrong and the LGBTQ is wrong. And yeah, I mean, yeah, that's correct. The majority of Christian churches are saying that, especially in the South, where you have a whole bunch of Baptist churches. Baptist churches especially say that. But then when you get up to the North, you see a little bit less. The West Coast definitely does not have very many of them. The Upper East Coast does not have too many of those types of churches, or the average American churches. It's mostly, you see that mostly stuffed together in the South, especially in a place like Tennessee, for example. Tennessee has, what, 4 million residents? Maybe, I think it's 4 million. I could be wrong. 4 million residents. And then they have a massive amount of churches, kind of like where I live. We have 8,000 people in my town, and then 50 churches. It's called overchurching, and it's okay in my opinion. But what she did is basically these churches are saying this, and she's like, okay. By the way, but she was a former student at the Covenant Christian School in Tennessee. If you didn't know that, she used to go there. I think it was, I don't remember. I don't know her age. I don't know her name. I don't want to know her name. I don't want to know her age. What I do know is that she used to want to go to that school. Whether that means she graduated high school from there, or whether, yeah, she graduated high school from there because she legally bought guns. So she graduated high school from that school. And then she went to that school later on in her life and messed stuff up. So let's look at, again, let's look at why. I didn't originally want to talk about this in You might be realizing I'm stuttering a lot more. I'm not on focus just because this topic is not, it's not something I like enjoy talking about. I enjoy talking about the consequences and what needs to happen and why this needs to happen and how this works and not this. This is a little bit different because no matter what you do, these things will always happen. You can take every single gun away from every single person in America, and murder will still exist. Mass murder will still exist. It doesn't matter what you do, because the problem is not these physical creations that human beings are making. The problem is our mind. It will always be here. Always. I heard some people say, okay, you can't change transgender people, right? Because they're born this way. And sure, you might be born that way. You might be born thinking you're a woman when you're a man, or thinking you're a man when you're a woman. You might be born, that might be true, yes. But I'm not something you can do to avoid it. We're all born into sin. We cannot avoid sin. I cannot stop sinning just like any other person on planet Earth can stop sinning. It's a very unfortunate reality. But what we can do is turn to Christ. This is something this person failed to do. She failed to turn to Christ. She had a problem. She had two problems. First of all, gender dysphoria. Gender dysphoria was not her biggest problem. Her biggest problem was whatever mental instability that she had, which, by the way, again, I don't know what it was. I haven't read any autopsy or biopsy, whatever. I haven't read any of those stuff yet. I don't even know if they've been released. I don't know what her mental instabilities were. I just know she had them because she had this idea that if she brought. If she messed up, if she made problems in a Christian school, and three young kids lost their lives, and three adults lost their lives because of her, and then she would get shot in the head, that because of her, she would somehow make everyone else's lives better. That was her mental instability. That is where she went wrong, right? And that's an unfortunate reality that people are doing that today. I mean, every single school shooting, every single person who's done this type of stuff, they had some sort of mental instability, and a major one that they couldn't deal with, that their therapist either didn't know about because they couldn't see it, or didn't know how to deal with for them, or didn't basically couldn't help them with. These people had problems. And you can take a gun away from these people. That's totally fine. I agree with you. These types of people should not have, or at least be able to access weapons, people who are mentally unstable like that. The problem is, we can't actually separate these people from society. It's virtually impossible. If it was possible for me to be like, hey, we can only sell guns to people who are mentally stable, which means, I don't know, maybe that means you do background checks. Sure, I would gladly do that. I would actually be the biggest advocate for background checks on planet Earth. But the problem is, background checks can be cheated like that. You can put down whatever answer you want on a background check. Something that's interesting is if I wanted to, I could probably pass an insanity test saying I was insane. But at the same time, I'm not insane, right? There's people can fake things. They can pretend to be something they're not. You can be a man pretending to be a woman and be extremely good at it, but that doesn't make you a woman. You can be this lady pretending to be extremely sane, but yet she was not sane. It doesn't matter what you do to try to separate these mentally unstable people from the mentally stable people. You will never be able to do it perfectly. And because of that, thousands upon millions of innocent Americans who are mentally stable will not be able to buy or purchase guns because you will have to generalize the law more in order to try and keep the mentally unstable people inside the regulated group. But at the same time, those mentally unstable people might also have access to guns, whether it's through relatives or through faking the test or whatever, it does not matter. So there's some political stuff to it. And again, this person, she did this stuff because she thought it would be for the better good. She figured that, hey, if I do this, I mean, Christians, they're all evil, right? They're Christians are supposedly all evil in her eyes, which means she has to end it, or she has to start something. similar to, I'm assuming her idea for all of this was probably more like, hey, let's look at George Floyd and all these riots. What started all these riots? Someone died. So what do I need to do in order to spark something? And so she sacrificed herself for that reason. And that was a terrible reason. It's disgusting. It's inhumane. But she did it. And she believed in that cause, which is not good. So what does this tell us for today? Well, after this happened, we saw the left, mostly left. In fact, I want to say only left, but I don't know if that's true or not. Democrats going out and saying, oh, this is because Christians have this hateful rhetoric against trans people. And no, that's not true. And even trans, even, no, sorry, not trans, even Democrats were saying, oh, this is because of Michael Knowles. No, it's not. Michael Knowles is a Catholic, if you didn't know that. So that's how this relates. Michael Knowles is a Catholic. Catholicism is a sectarian. I don't know what you call it. Sect of Christianity. Christianity has what? Three sects. There's the Orthodox, there's the Catholicism, and then there's the Protestant. I believe Anglican is under Protestant. Correct me if I'm wrong. But that's the basics of Christianity, right? And so Michael Knowles, Catholic, he gave a speech at the conservative convention in Texas. I believe it was it a month ago? It might have been a month ago now. But in his speech, he said transgenderism needs to be eradicated from public society. That is a direct quote. And I actually, you can hate me for this, I kind of agree with it. I mean, transgenderism has caused quite a few problems in the United States today, which means eradicated from society. Yes, I can't stop you from getting a transgender surgery past the age of 18. I physically cannot stop you. That will go against constitutional limits, and it will be a messy battle, and in the end, it's just not worth it. The pros do not outweigh the cons. Even if I wanted to, I mean, as a religious person, my religion goes against that, goes against transgenderism, because you're denying God's beautiful creation. You're saying, oh no, God, I'm not beautifully, wonderfully made in your image. No, I need to be different. And you're saying mind above body, when in reality, your mind is your body. Your mind is part of your body. So in reality, you're just being kind of a hypocrite in that sense, but you know, whatever. And the basics of all of this is the Democrats are blaming us for this. It's saying, hey, your dangerous rhetoric caused her to do those acts of violence, right? And first of all, there's a couple flaws with that. You have to make major assumptions in order to come to that conclusion. The first major assumption you have to say is, okay, she had to have watched your shows. She had to have heard your dangerous rhetoric. That is not a big assumption, I guess. I mean, it's very likely she probably did. Those are national, the conservative convention is publicly broadcasted, right? You just have to turn on the TV and look for it. Or you go on your TikTok and watch liberals talk about it and what they disliked about it, and bam, there you go. So it's very likely that she heard that, sure. And then you have to make the assumption that she actually didn't like that she didn't like that rhetoric. And because she didn't like that rhetoric, she started thinking about how to, what's the word for it? Get back at the rhetoric. So then you have to make that assumption. And okay, sure. I mean, there's apparently some memos that she wrote that suggest she may have done that. Okay. So then there's that. And then here's the biggest jump. She has to make the physical, mental decision to commit violence versus giving speeches versus, I don't know, complaining on Twitter like everyone else. She has to make the physical decision to actually commit violence. That decision was not forced upon her. She didn't have to make that decision. She had two choices. She could say, hey, I could do violence or I could not do violence. And she chose violence for whatever reasons she had, which means no. In the end, the decision was hers. And she made the wrong decision. Secondly, I hate how politicians do these days. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. Whenever something extremely violent like this happens, we always blame the opposing side. Always. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat. Republicans will just be like, oh no, it's the liberals. Oh, it's the transgender people. And the Democrats will be like, oh, it's the conservatives. It's the straight people. That's all they do. Nonstop. And it's ridiculous. Because no, it's none of our faults. That single person made that single choice. It's the person who did it's fault. None of us should be pu punished for someone else's public decision that caused violence. That's not how this works. It's not American. It's not American. I'm sorry. I was just watching a debate between two people from 2019. It was a Politicon debate, and one of the Democrats said it's something about not being American, and I was like, okay, dude, every single person on that stage right there is American, okay? 90% of the audience in front of you is American, okay? We can chill out with this not American stuff. It's definitely American, just saying. But you know, whatever. Anyways. So this is it's not okay. The way we've been going about dealing with this. We can't blame any specific party because of something bad that happened. What we can do is introduce bills to try to address the problem. And that is what Tennessee did. Tennessee introduced a couple new bills. One of them has to do with making sure schools are better protected, which is okay. It's better than taking away guns, but it's not quite there. But okay, we're getting there. This idea was to keep any more radicals that come in. So any more people who decide violence over nonviolence, it's basically to end them before they end anyone else. Or arrest them or incarcerate them before they can do anything, period. That would be best. That's what this law does. And it supplies funds, and I believe it requires all public schools in Tennessee to hire at least one well-trained security guard, which by the way has to be armed. And then it gives those the same cost that it would be to hire a well-trained security guard with a gun, the same cost of that amount, take that amount, and it also gives it to private schools, but it does not require private schools to do it. It just gives them the funds so that they may do it if they so please to do it. And I think that's a decently thought-out bill. It's obviously in the beginning stages of the bill, right? The bill is still being worked on. The specifics are still being worked on. How are they going to go through? Where are they going to take the funding from? It's still all being worked on, right? But from the top-down level, it looks pretty good. It looks like it could do a lot of good. Whether protecting schools from drugs or protecting schools from people choosing to do violence, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're looking at, which way you're, or direction you're looking at it from. It looks like a well-rounded bill from the start. Obviously, Democrats are going to say, well, this doesn't work. I mean, there's so many schools out there that have guards and bad stuff happen all the time. And yes, bad stuff does happen all the time. You know what else you could do? You could also have one way of entrance, and that one way of entrance is also your only exit. Oh, wait, actually, no, I messed it up. One way of entrance and multiple exits. If you have one exit, then everyone has to go through the same door the shooter went through, and then that's a massacre. Switch that around. One entrance, many exits. That would be way better. Sorry, I messed that up so bad. No, that would be terrible. Do not have one entrance and one exit. One entrance and thousands of exits would be best. One exit in every single room would be top. You get the point, though. Just because you take away someone's gun doesn't mean their violent thoughts aren't still there. They still think the same way. They still feel the same way. They still feel the anger and the hatred. They still feel like they have to get back at the supposed rhetoric. Which, by the way, Democrats like to talk to Republicans all about our dangerous rhetoric and how dangerous we are. Let's make the assumption, okay? Let's pretend rhetoric is extremely dangerous and that it causes such terrible violence. Okay, let's start from there. Wouldn't telling everyone that the Republican Party is an evil, racist, sexist party be considered dangerous rhetoric? Because now you're just telling every single radical who's a feminist or who's, I don't know, activist on the left that, hey, the Republican Party is your target. And now any of those people who are violent are going to target us according to their philosophy. So, I mean, two people can play this game of dangerous rhetoric. Democrats want to call us dangerous and want to call everything we say dangerous rhetoric. Fine, we'll call everything they say dangerous rhetoric. It's two can play at that game. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I love that game. Play stupid games, win super. It's my favorite game. The best game on planet Earth. Because then whenever someone does something stupid, I can do something stupid back, and it's hilarious. Anyways, best game on planet Earth, especially when it comes to Supreme Court filibusters. Anyways, this is basically my episode for the day. I wanted to address the tragedy that happened in Tennessee. And I wanted to address that blaming one specific party and one specific side is the worst idea any person has ever had in the history of humanity, because you're only contributing to the polarization. Don't do that. It's not a good idea. Polarization is not something we're short on. Why would we want more of it? You get what I'm saying? Good. Now, I am for the extreme division between Republicans and Democrats. Not the division as in we hate each other, but like the division as in Republicans like low taxes, Democrats like high taxes. I like that type of stuff. You're a Democrat. Go ahead. Advocate for high taxes. Great. You're a Republican. Go ahead. Advocate for low taxes. Great. Because now I can look at both parties and decide which party follows the actual political beliefs that I want to vote for, that I want implemented into my home country. That is what I want to see. Not some insults, not some stupid name-calling. None of that. Not virtue signal. I don't want to see any of that. It's dumb. It doesn't get us anywhere. It adds to the polarization, and it's just a mess. There's the basics of the episode. I do have time, so let me just very quickly address what I think. So gender dysphoria is it's a mental, I don't know if I want to call it a disability or a mutation. You can call it either one. I'm going to call it a disability until there's proof that it's a mutation, so I'm going to call it a disability for now. Gender dysphoria is a mental disability. It means you're born with the idea, or you have the actual firm idea where you think you're a man or you think you're a woman. Does it exist? Most likely. It most likely is a real thing. Just the same way there are some people who are born gay and some people who are born lesbian. That is all true. But the thing is, that doesn't make it okay. I was born with extreme anger issues. I had major issues, okay? I would cause quite a few problems. Was I okay to do it? I mean, I was born that way. Can't I just act on it? Act on my impulses? No. That's not how this works. Never is supposed to be how this works. We're a fallen world, and because we're a fallen world, every single thing in this world is broken. Whether it's our minds, our bodies, it doesn't matter. It's all broken in some way, right? And obviously, I'm not a pastor again, so you can ignore me on that, but then fine, it'll be your loss. Because, sure, I'm not a pastor, but I at least know my theology a little bit. Thank you for listening to this episode. Next episode will be released on Wednesday. Today's Monday for you guys. Next episode is going to be a little bit different, sort of. I'm going to give some economic stuff, but I'm going to give it based on questions from a website. So, see you all later. God bless you.